The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Carissa from Orlando, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 287 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show, as always, is my co-host, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Michael. How are you today?
Let's see. On a scale of 1 to 10, probably a 5 to 6. It's Monday, and that usually brings it down 2 pegs. So.
Well, we have to say that we played hooky over the weekend. We've been training for this BAA 10K.
Oh, my God.
And Tropical Storm Bill came, and I wussed out. I don't know. Did you wuss out?
I wussed out. One of my friends who lives in Brookline, Mass., all she had to do was take the tea. But she told me that, she said, I think I learned this from you, listening to your podcast. While she was waiting in the corral, she had taken a tiny, small plastic bags and put them around her feet. And then when she ran, it was fine.
Yeah.
But she said the worst part of yesterday was that when she finished the race and she jumped on the MBTA, it was air conditioned and she was soaked.
No. So. Well, I probably would have had post-traumatic stress disorder after running this year's Boston Marathon.
That's true.
In the rain. So anyway, shout out to all those people who did that. And one other special shout out, and it is to our friend Michael Miller. And do you know what he did last weekend?
He ate a kitchen sink.
Well, he should have. I don't know. It'd be interesting to hear about the nutrition around this. He ran 3 marathons in 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Michael, shout out to you. You're amazing. I can't imagine the hunger and the calories you would have needed, but I bet I know somebody who could tell us that.
We could find someone. And so, with that, let's make the transition to our special guest. She's been on the show many times, but we can't have her on enough. She is known as the Diet Diva. She is the official Run Disney nutritionist. We all know and love her, Tara Guidus. Tara, welcome back. Tara, welcome back.
Hey, guys. Oh, my God. 3 marathons in 3 days? That's insane.
Can you imagine?
No.
How many calories? How many calories?
That makes Dopey look like nothing.
I know. So, yeah, it's amazing. And you're recovering from an injury, not maybe 3 marathons, but you hurt your toe, so
yeah,
we hope you're feeling better.
A little broken toe action, but luckily I can still run and do some exercise. I just can't jump a whole lot, but it's okay.
We hope you heal soon.
Thank you.
So we have lots and lots of questions from listeners, as we always do, about nutrition. And when we say you're going to be on, people just have they come out of the woodworks with their questions they've been saving.
Love that.
So, all right. So put on your seatbelt, Tara. So here
okay.
we go. so we, one of our, these are from Mickey Milers, people on the Mickey Miles podcast team first, and Robert Schultz, who is known to like his bacon, wants to know, how can I make sure I eat enough bacon every day? But his serious question is it really necessary to carb up before a race?
Yes, it absolutely is. So your fuel source that you're using during exercise is primarily your glycogen, which is carbohydrate rich. And that's in your liver and in your muscles. And in order to really build that up the most, carbohydrates are going to be the best thing to do. So I always caution, though, if you've heard me speak before, that carbing up doesn't mean that you have to eat 14 bagels and you have to eat, you know, pounds of pasta the night before and all that. It just means eat some some carbs. So, and it doesn't have to be just pasta. So if you don't like pasta, that's fine. I often do pizza the night before a race, not a greasy, nasty pizza, but I'll do, you know, a veggie pizza or a cheese pizza or something like that, because it's, and I look for sort of a thicker crust or at least a hand tossed crust, because that, you know, that bread is going to give you carbs. You could do rice, you could do potatoes, fruit, you know, any of those things are going to give you carbohydrates. And then the morning of, you want to make sure that you're having carbohydrates, because your goal is to make sure that your glycogen stores, your energy stores, are as full as possible when your toe is on the line. So yes, so you definitely need those.
Could you overdo it with the carbs? I mean, you know, they have sometimes these pasta parties, and you're saying that it doesn't just have to be pasta, but if you overeat, you could have some problems the next day.
I mean, it's just like any overeating where you might get some indigestion, you might store it as fat, of course. You know, so yeah, I wouldn't suggest, that's why I say don't go hog wild. Just make sure that you're eating enough. Eat to fullness, but not to I'm stuffed.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have a follow-up question. Tara, I heard something on another podcast, and I thought I need to ask Tara.
You listen to other podcasts.
Yeah, I listened to it. I think it was a nutritionist who said that when you're running at a slower pace, your body then taps your fat storage cells first, or the fat that you've stored, and when you're running fast, it goes after the protein. So is that true?
It's not going to go after the protein stores, but it is true that if it's going to go after those carbohydrate stores. So sprinters are going to definitely, they don't have time to get into fat because they're going so fast that the body takes longer to get into those fat stores. So yes, that's why, like, if you do the treadmill and you put it on the fat burning zone, it's going to be a lower, or, you know, elliptical or whatever, it's going to be a lower heart rate zone, because you are going to use a higher proportion of fat. That doesn't mean you're going to use all fat, but you are going to be able to get into your fat stores more during that exercise. Now, that doesn't mean that after exercise, if you're doing a faster pace, you might still be in your afterburn, be getting into some of those fat stores. And if, you know, at the end of the day, on an average day, average week, you know, you're in calorie deficit, you're definitely going to get into fat stores as well. So I'm not a huge fan of need to go really slow just to burn fat, because it's really overall calories that are going to matter. I mean, eventually your body will break down fat and use it for energy if you are in a deficit. It doesn't have to be in the moment at mile, you know, 12.
Right.
So we always learn so much.
Yeah, thank you for clearing that up. Okay, our second question comes from Julia Locus, who says, on longer runs, especially those in the heat, I get really bloated, like sausage fingers. She says, I always have fluids with me and drink throughout my run. I take none with me, and sometimes even take salt packets, but it just doesn't seem to be enough. Could it be something else nutrition-wise? Or maybe just not enough electrolytes and fluid. Is there a test or something I can do to figure out how much I need?
I was going to say, I don't think we've ever had that question. That's so interesting.
Yeah, it's a very good question. Yeah. So here's the deal, is everybody's body is going to be different, and some people have more swelling in your extremities than other people do. So probably FYI, or TMI, not FYI, TMI. when I was pregnant, I did not see my ankles past like week 10. I mean, nobody even knew I was pregnant, and my legs just swelled up, and I had to wear these compression hose the entire pregnancy in the state of Florida, from belly to toes. It was horrible. So anyway, I tell you that because everybody is different. So some people retain more fluid than others, you know, in pregnancy, but also just in the heat and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, in swelling in your extremities is very common because, you know, the vessels in your hands are going to leak some of that fluid into that surrounding tissue. So that's going to happen in your feet. If you've ever noticed that your feet expand a lot of times when you're running as well, and that's what can cause some of the blisters too, is that your feet are expanding. And that's why a lot of people, like our shoe whisperer, Betsy Hughes, likes to tell people to buy your shoes an extra size bigger, because your running shoes than your normal, you know, everyday shoes, because your feet do swell when you're running. So, you know, most of that blood flow is going to be directed to your muscles, but some of that can, you know, cause some of the swelling in the hands. Hyponatremia, I think it's fair to mention too, hyponatremia. So hyponatremia, hypo means low and natremia means blood sodium. So what can happen is people who sweat a lot and are just drinking water and not getting salt in can actually overhydrate, and that can contribute to swelling. Probably not Julia's problem because she is taking the noon tablets, the electrolyte tablets, and she's taking salt tablets, it sounds like. So that's, you know, probably not her issue. I think it's probably more of a genetic issue. And actually, too much salt can actually cause you to retain fluid. So that might be part of it too, is that, you know, the high salt diet that we all have as Americans, and then she may be just more salt sensitive. And so she's taking a bunch of salt during exercise, and that's actually causing her to retain fluid. So to know how much to take, you actually can do, and I do this with the Orlando Magic, is we actually take salt, we test their salt, their sweat, for how much salt is in it. And it's amazing. I mean, some people are double the amount of salt in their sweat than other people are. And that's mainly, again, a genetic thing. Now, I don't know that you need to, I mean, you'd have to seek out an exercise physiologist, sports dietitian, someone to actually measure your electrolyte losses through the sweat patch testing. And I'm not sure that, you know, Julia, that's going to be worth it to you. But you know, because it's a pretty advanced thing that people do. But yeah, but that's really what's happening. So I would just make sure, you know, like take your rings off, loosen your watch, you know, maybe loosen the ties of your shoes if you know that you're going to be swelling a lot more. But it's probably a sodium issue and just a blood vessel issue.
So would you recommend maybe she cut down on the none and have some more water, or like experiment with doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking that depending on, you know, how much she really is taking, she may want to cut back a little bit on the salt tablets. If you're not cramping at all ever, then, you know, try to cut back on the salt a little bit and see if that helps to cut back on the swelling.
So interesting. Thank you. I love the science. Okay, so Christine Cook has a question about diets. She says, I've fallen off my diet bandwagon and I'm having trouble with a terrible case of the munchies or runchies lately. I've never been much of a snacker, but it seems to be all I'm doing lately. Any suggestions for some good protein snacks that will satisfy my need to munch?
Yes, I have this issue sometimes too. So you're not alone. It happens to even the experts. But the thing is that you have to match the energy that you're burning. You know, unless you're trying to lose weight, of course, then you want to try to have a bit of a deficit. But it's tricky. It's a tricky thing to still lose weight, but also be, you know, at such a high level of exercise because you are hungry all the time. And I agree that protein is one of the things that you want to look for, because what protein does is it helps to keep you full longer. So if you're just eating a lot of carbohydrates and very little protein, you're hungry. You're hungry all the time, and you're just going to get hungrier as you snack on more carbs. So I would make sure a couple things. One is absolutely make sure that you're starting your day with breakfast and that you're eating before your run and within 30 minutes after your run. So you want to eat within it. When I say breakfast, I mean eat within an hour of getting up. If you're running first thing in the morning, then have a maybe 100 to 150 calorie snack, primarily carbohydrates, before your run, and then come back and have breakfast. Make sure that you have protein at every single meal and included at snacks. So a lot of research lately has been recommending 30 grams of protein for breakfast, which is a heck of a lot of protein. Wow. At breakfast. But what they're finding is that that's helping to decrease the munchies, the appetite, especially later in the evening. So if you're a sugaraholic after 8 o'clock at night, it could be that you're not eating enough earlier in the day and that you're not getting enough protein at breakfast, and maybe you aren't eating breakfast at all. And so that can be something that you can move around a little bit. And then make sure that you're eating every 3 to 4 hours, because if you're going a long time without eating, what happens is you turn into, you know, a mess. I mean, when I'm starving, get out of my way. And you make bad choices, you eat too quickly, you eat too much, and you eat crap. So if you can eat regularly, have protein regularly, make sure you have breakfast, that's good. But to answer your last question about what protein snacks, I think it was snacks specifically is what you were asking about.
Yep.
Some of my favorites I love, of course, Greek yogurt is great. I'll do Greek yogurt and throw some fresh fruit in there. Cottage cheese is one of my absolute favorites, and that's a love-hate relationship that a lot of people have because it has a texture thing. I love it. But now I'll throw pineapple, fresh pineapple into my cottage cheese. You can throw like chia seeds into, you know, Greek yogurt to bump up the protein a little bit. I love edamame. You can make your own trail mix with some dried fruit and nuts and some whole grain cereals. You can do hummus and carrots and broccoli, and you can just take a piece of lettuce and put a couple pieces of turkey on it, roll it up, and have a, you know, lettuce roll up or a turkey roll up. You don't even need to put it on bread. So, you know, going for some, I mean, meat, hard-boiled eggs are a good one. But if you're, you know, looking more snacky, I would say dairy is going to be good. You know, you could do a little protein shake, a ready-to-drink one, or just make yourself a little smoothie as well.
For the record, Michelle had a big smile on her face when you said cottage cheese.
It's one of my favorite snacks.
She had that tonight.
I love it. I love it. Now you took me off. Oh, when you're making a smoothie, you have, like I use almond milk sometimes, and is that even worth it? Like, I mean, I know it's lower in calories, but I feel like I'm skipping the protein by not having dairy.
Yeah, there's absolutely no protein in almond milk. So what almond milk does is it gives you fluid with a tiny bit of flavor and maybe a little bit of calcium because they fortify it with calcium, but it's not giving you protein. So it's fine if you want to use almond milk, but don't consider it your protein source. You definitely need to get a scoop of protein powder into there as well.
It's not going to keep me full. It just occurs to me, like you have to read all the time to keep up on the latest research in your field. How do you find the time to do that?
Well, it's just, you know, you just do. I mean, I get, you know, in the work I'm doing, I get asked like this, you know, questions all the time, and people are reading, and so I need to keep up on it too.
That's cool.
The next question comes from Jan Ottman Trummel. Jan says, "I'm always tired. What foods should I take for more energy, or should I avoid?"
Okay. So, well, first clue when someone says they're tired is, of course, sleep. So yes, I will talk about food in a second, but you know, you want to make sure that you're getting enough sleep and also that you're not overtraining. And I don't think we talk about overtraining enough, like as athletes and as experts. And sometimes, you know, you can be doing too much. And again, that's very individual for everybody. So make sure that you're not feeling this constant fatigue every day where your muscles just aren't recovering and you're feeling very lead. If your legs feel like lead when you go out, now this time of year is hard to say that because, you know, the summertime and especially here in Florida, oh my gosh, our legs are lead every day we go out in this humidity. But that's, you know, injuries, all those kinds of things can really speak to maybe an overtraining. So you want to, you know, pay attention to that. So you want to, you know, anytime you're feeling fatigued, it can be adequate rest. It can be hydration, so making sure that you're peeing clear. So just drink lots of water until, you know, you're peeing clear every day. You also want to talk to your doctor, too. If it's like an unusual fatigue, it could be thyroid. It could be something else. I mean, fatigue is it could be anemia. You know, it's a big sign of there's something wrong in your body. If you think it's just kind of I'm just sort of getting a lull at 3 p.m. and, you know, that kind of thing, then definitely, I just want to rule out anything more serious first before we just, you know, tackle nutrition. So in terms of high energy foods, it's similar to what we were talking about with the munchies, munchy runchies, is, you know, making sure that you give things that are going to be long lasting energy. And to do that, you want things that are low glycemic. And low glycemic basically means it should have fiber, protein, or fat in it. So, and it can have one or both or all three of those things. So in other words, pretzels are white flour and salt. They're very high glycemic. So pretzels are not a good energy snack, because they're going to give you some energy, but then you're going to crash from it. A little 100-calorie pack of Oreo, whatever, or, you know, crackers or cookies or something like that, not good, because it's just going to give you a spike and a drop. So what you want to look for is things that have fiber, protein, and or fat. So nuts are one of my favorite. Almonds, pistachios, pecans, you know, any of those are going to be great. You can do nut butters on like an apple or something like that. You can do, you know, avocado, you know, just slices of avocado, or you can put that onto, you know, some crackers, whole grain crackers or something like that. You can do the smoothie like we talked about. Make sure you have some protein in there. And, you know, same thing like the Greek yogurt and the fruit, you know, yogurt parfait, a little granola, something like that. All those would be good things, but just remember to have, you know, fiber, protein, and or fat to give you lasting energy.
Awesome. So interesting. Okay, Robin Benton has the next question, and she wants to know, for those of us with IBS, what yep. foods are best and what should we avoid in the days leading up to the race?
No, IBS, like irritable bowel syndrome.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So this was Robin, did you say?
Yeah, Robin Benton.
Okay. So Robin, you know, just like I was saying with some of the other issues here, you know, all IBS is very individual. I get headaches. That's my like Achilles heel is headaches. And it's very individual. I mean, you can read lists of things that trigger headaches or trigger IBS and all this stuff, but you have to know your body. So what I would know is, you know, keep that food diary. And maybe you already know some of the culprits, hopefully you do, that tend to give you problems. But a lot of us, even without IBS, tend to have, you know, the runner's trots or have, you know, quick emptying of our gastric system or however you want to say it. Okay. So you want to make sure that that you're, you know, just doing, trying to do things to not irritate it or cause more inflammation in the couple of days ahead of time. So, you know, not doing really, really high fiber stuff. Is going to be good because fiber is good for long-term, like keep things moving, but right before a race, like in the day or two before, it's just adding more bulk, which is creating more stuff to move out. Okay.
Yeah.
So
it isn't, it isn't long before we start to talk about pee and the other stuff whenever we talk to you.
Dietitians, we always have to talk about poop.
I'm a biologist, so I think it's awesome.
I know. Exactly. So, you know, the other thing is I would just make sure that you have been tested, you know, tested for things like celiac disease, and you can also get a food sensitivity test, and we do that in my office. I have another dietitian that works with me, Christina, and she's like the expert at these food sensitivity testing, and we can do that from a distance too. So if you've never had, if you have issues of like chronic fatigue, if you have irritable bowel, you know, even if it's undiagnosed, but you just tend to have a lot of quote unquote stomach issues. If you have headaches, especially migraine headaches, a lot of that stuff can be improved. I'm not going to use the word cure, but can be improved
maybe
quite a
managed.
Bit by getting managed by food sensitivity testing, because there's lots of different things we eat in a day, and even keeping a really good food diary, it doesn't, you know, can't narrow it down well enough to know what's causing the problem. So that would be something that you want to look into as well. And feel free to email me if you want more information about it. But yeah, so that's something that I would also recommend as well.
So just to kind of follow up on that, because you have your services that you offer virtually, people can email and work with Christina. And
yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Okay, so the next question is, it's kind of a funny one, but it's I thought I would ask it anyway. A lot of people have been posting this thing about running in donuts. Have
yes,
you seen it?
I've noticed.
Yeah, yeah. So the graphic is how many donuts you can have if you run a certain amount. So 5K, you can have 2 donuts, up to a marathon, I can't remember, but it was something like 13 donuts. And I just wanted to, it's funny, but I just wanted to hear your thoughts about that, because it's kind of, you know, it's kind of, people may think, I know it's kind of tongue in cheek, but people may think, oh, I did a 5K, I can go have 2 donuts now, and that's a good idea.
Right. Well, yes. So it depends on what your weight management goals are. I mean, if you're at a good weight and you're happy at your weight, then it's all about calorie balance. So if you burned an extra 300, 400, 500, 600 calories, I mean, it depends on the donut too. I mean, some donuts are 200 calories, some donuts are 600 calories, depending on cream filled and icing and, you know, size of the donut and all that kind of stuff. So, so it's hard for me to say like X number of donuts equals X number of miles. And everybody's different with with how many calories they're burning. So women are going to burn maybe 80 to 100 calories a mile if for like maybe an average 140, 150 pound woman, whereas a man that's closer to 200 pounds and has more muscle is going to be burning more calories. And so, you know, they can eat more donuts than women can eat because they burn more calories.
That's equal calories for equal work, because that's what I say.
I know. I wish. So that's, you know, I mean, it's that whole 100 calories per mile myth. You know, you burn 100 calories per mile. Not true. It depends on your exertion level. It depends on your body. It depends on so many different things. And so, you know, some people do burn 100 calories a mile, but some people burn 76 calories a mile, and some people burn 164 calories a mile. I mean, whatever, you know, so it depends on how fast you're going, what your exertion level is. You know, an easy run, you're burning less calories. Even if you run the same 3 miles, when you go faster, you're burning more because your exertion is higher. So I don't know if that answers the question, but
I think that's awesome. I see things like this and I always think of what you and Carissa would say. I have like little angels on my shoulder. What would Tara say? What would Carissa say?
Well, and it's just like, you know, my whole talk last year at the expos for the Disney races was all about, you know, not gaining weight while training for a marathon, because we tend to compensate and overcompensate. So this whole idea of, you know, the bacon and the donuts, it's fun. And yes, you can eat donuts and bacon, but you know how much and when and all of that is, you know, is up for debate depending on how many calories you're burning. So, you know, the more you burn, then the more you can have, but you also have to decide what is my ultimate goal
in weight management. Do you sometimes recommend for your ball players on the Magic and people who you coach who are athletes to journal, even if weight is not an issue?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, downloading the app like the MyFitnessPal app or one of those, you know, and keeping track for even a week is extremely eye-opening. I mean, I do it every once in a while just to, like, you know, keep myself honest and say, oh, wow, that was a lot more cereal than I thought I was eating.
Right, just to measure what you're eating and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, just to keep track. But also, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of different ways to keep track of what you're doing, and you can attach mood to it, you can attach times to it, you can attach, you know, hunger levels to it, you can attach all kinds of things to, you know, to a food diary that, depending on, you know, what you're looking for, you know, just like the IBS question, you know, symptoms, that kind of stuff.
That concludes episode 287 with Tara Guidas. Join us for episode 288 as we continue with questions from our listeners for Tara Guidas, Run Disney's official nutritionist. This is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.